Matthew 17, we'll begin at verse 14 and we'll go down through verse 21, today's message. I've entitled the message this morning, Just Another Day in the Ministry. Just Another Day in the Ministry. I believe this morning, those of you that are born again, my brothers and sisters, are about to see something that the disciples teach us, that it is possible to serve Christ day by day, week after week, and maybe not realize that you've been doing it without God's power. Boy, they're going to teach us that principle today. So I'll ask that you bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you for this passage. What a strong and powerful teaching it's been in my heart. And Lord, you remind me again today as I'm attempting to have a time with these dear folks at Faith, a time of ministry, that I too must have your permission and your power and your presence. Otherwise, Lord, it's all in vain. I ask that you would teach us, preach to our hearts, exhort us, Lord, to never seek to do ministry without you. Help us to trust you to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Quickly, I want you to see in verses 14 through 16, my first point. I have 5 points. Now, you know why it's good for a preacher to announce that. You know, we're getting closer to the end, right? Number one, I want you to see in verses 14 through 16, the Father's plea. The Father's plea. The Bible says in Matthew 17, 14, and when they, now that's referring to Jesus and his disciples, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I besought him, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Notice that they could not cure him. Now in Luke's account of the same story, in Luke 9, this man would say to Jesus, this is mine only child, this little boy. But I want you to keep your finger there and go to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, because I think there's something that Mark's account gives us that's very, very powerful. And I will mention it again at the end of the message. In Mark chapter 9, let's begin in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe all things, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Pastor Moss told me the theme for this year is faith, God immediately made me think of this passage. Because you're going to find out that faith is such an important topic in the New Testament. In fact, one of the best verses I know, Hebrews 9:27. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. By the way, all of you do that. All of you believe God. You believe in God, don't you? But see, it's the rest of the verse where we struggle. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where the Christian life can be tough sometimes. Every man and woman, even little David would say, I believe in God. God's your father through the person of Jesus Christ. But where it gets tough is sometimes, someday, some events. Do we really trust him? You're going to find out this morning that the disciples had forgotten the principle of faith. Number one, the Father's plea. Number two, look at verse 16 again. The disciples' powerlessness. The disciples' powerlessness. Notice the Father said, when I brought him to the disciples, they could not cure him. Now it's interesting that 1 year earlier to this account, Jesus had gathered these 12 men, the disciples, and commissioned them to do this very thing, to cast out devils. In Matthew 10, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils." In Mark 6, "And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils." So for at least a year, these men have been casting out demons and devils. Devils and demons with Jesus for a year. But now on this day, this father, he said, "I tried, but they could not cure him." Notice what the father did not say. The father did not say that the disciples refused. The father did not say that they didn't try. But he said, for all their attempts, and they tried, they couldn't do it. They could not cast this demon out of this little boy. You see, my friends, they were doing ministry, but they were doing it without power. It is very easy for maybe especially men in full-time ministry, like Brother Voss, Moss and myself. But listen, it's true of all of us, because every day, if you know Christ, you're in ministry. You have responsibility as God's child, no matter where, if you work in a factory, you work in the home, you work in a store. We're born again people. And every day we're alive, we have ministry. And it's really easy. Take it from an expert on this. It's easy to go day by day, day after day, sometimes week after week, and not realize I've been coasting. I've been trying to live the Christian life. I've been trying to do ministry for Christ without Him. So number one, the Father's plea. Number two, the disciples' powerlessness. The Bible says that they could not cure him. And by the way, the fact that our English Bible says that the man went to all the disciples and that they could not cure him tells me he didn't just walk up to Peter. He may have started with Peter, but he went to every single one of these disciples. And I believe that each one of them tried. And maybe at some point, Peter said, "Come on, fellas, it's not working. All of you get in here." And they were all trying to exorcise that demon. But when all of them failed, whether one by one or all collectively together, the man finally says, "Thank you. Thank you for trying." But, and you can imagine maybe what was going on at that moment. That little boy is acting out. That demon is manifesting himself, fighting for the body and soul of that little boy. It must have been horrible. Number three, this is very unusual now. Notice number three, the Savior's provocation in verses 17 and 18. The Savior's provocation. "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." I notice as we read Jesus' words to his disciples, he's very stern, isn't he? Notice how he speaks to these men that he loved. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation." Now I notice in verse 17, there are first two indictments against his disciples, and then two inducements. Two things that he wanted to encourage them never to forget. Number one, let's talk about those inducements or indictments. You'll forgive me, my throat is very, very dry. And once in a while I got to get some water on it. Notice the Savior's provocation. First, the two indictments. In verse 17, he says, "O faithless," and then number two, "perverse generation." Now, just so you understand, that word "faithless" literally means no faith. It doesn't mean a little faith. It means no faith. Completely absent of faith. He said, "You've been doing your ministry completely without faith." And number two, he says, "I think that is perverse." Jesus, when he says perverse, he is saying, "I believe that the way you men have come to do ministry is twisted or bent out of shape. You have lost your focus. Now listen, it wasn't bad enough that they couldn't cast out the little boy's demon. But their Savior looks at them and says, you have no faith anymore. Do you know how twisted I believe that is for you to go about being my disciple and yet not trusting me? Not focusing on me? Notice Jesus did not say to his disciples, you're lazy. Didn't say that. You're proud. Didn't say that. You're careless, stupid. You're heartless. He did not say that. But he did remind them that for all their trying, they had learned to do ministry without Jesus. Their way of doing ministry involved no faith, and Jesus declares it perverse. But notice his two inducements. He says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer or allow you? You know, these two questions were to cause in these men to understand something that was so obvious, but they missed it. He said, men, you know I've already begun telling you that I'm not going to be with you much longer. Then he says, how long shall I suffer or allow you? You realize, folks, when these men were all gathered around that little boy, and that demon was tearing at that little boy, and he was screaming and foaming, Jesus is saying this, I was just feet away from you. There you were, and I saw you, and I was literally feet right here. Not one time, men, not one time, did any of you look toward me, cry out to me, pray to me, trust in me? That's what he's saying. Men, how long do you think I'm going to be with you? I'm not going to be with you forever. There's going to come a time soon that I will be taken from you. Have you decided now that you've been with me for over a year that somehow you don't need my permission to do what you do? I'm the one that allows you to have ministry. Well, that's very sobering to me. As a preacher, that's very sobering. Because, you know, this May will be 37 years that God's allowed me the privilege of being in full-time vocational ministry. Folks, it gets real easy when you've been saved for a while, doesn't it? To forget who we do it for and who we do it with. Without Jesus Christ, there would be nothing. Nothing worth living or nothing worth doing. These questions that Jesus asked his disciples were to remind them and us that it is God's gracious presence and his gracious permission that they can do ministry at all. Tozer, A.W. Tozer, many of you are familiar with him. He wrote in a book called God's Power for Your Life this. Many are so caught up with the trends, technology, techniques, and trivia of our time that they cannot appreciate the reality of God's presence in our life each day. The key to that reality is seen in the promises God has given us. Whatever fascinates us will guide us. So my prayer is that the only thing that will fascinate me is God and His marvelous glory. Yeah. You realize, again, these men were going about just like every other day, pastor, every other day, doing their ministry, and just feet away was God in the flesh, the one that gave them the power and permission, who suffered or allowed them to be chosen, yet they were doing it. No faith. Number one, the Father's plea. Number two, the disciples' powerlessness. Number three, the Savior's provocation. Number four, the disciples' perplexity. The disciples' perplexity. Look at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus. What's that next word? Say that loud. Just checking to see if you have the right Bible, okay? What's that word apart mean? Privately. When he was away from the crowd, these men gathered around their Savior. They had heard the strong rebuke from their Lord, but notice how perplexed they are. It says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Notice they did not ask why the demon would not leave. What they were caught up in was still their problem. How come we couldn't do it? How come we could not cast this demon out? Their focus still continued to be on themselves and not Jesus Christ. Their question betrayed a problem that had developed in their ministry. You see, they had cast demons out before. They'd done it many times. Their confidence or faith had grown in themselves and their ability to do ministry, but not in Christ anymore. Now, if you don't think this can't happen to us, you're not listening. You're not listening to the Spirit of God and His Word, for indeed it can and does happen to us. That leads me to the last point, number five. The ministry's power. The ministry's power. Now, verses 20 and 21, Jesus first gives them a direct answer. Now, their question was this. How come we couldn't cast this demon out? So Jesus answers them. He says in verse 20, because of your unbelief. Literally, your no faith. You had zero faith because of your unbelief. For verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He said, men, you ask me why you could not cast this demon out. Men, listen, I already told you. It's because you were doing ministry without faith. Now, brethren, we're not talking about faith in faith. Faith has no meaning in Christian living unless it's in a person, in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can have faith in the fact that we do ministry. That's not going to last very long. But we have a church, we have a building, we have a group of people. If you have faith in Pastor Moss alone, if you have faith in each other alone, it's not going to last. Faith should always be in Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he says something that is very precious to me. Now, I don't know about you. I'm going to explain it. It's very precious to me. He says, if ye have faith as a mustard seed. So first he answers them. Why? Because you had no faith. Then he gives them what we, I guess I'd call an axiom. An axiom is a law. It's a rule. And he lays down a tremendous rule for us. And I hope you'll never forget it. He says, well, first of all, let me tell you how the Baptists read this verse. Here's how. Now, really, I've done this. I'm guilty of it at times. If you'll just have faith like a mountain. Excuse me. If you'll have faith the size of a mountain, you can move a mustard seed. That's how I think we read that verse. Am I the only one? Come on, help me out. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. This is a blessing. Our Lord Jesus knows we're weak. Amen. He said, if you'll just have faith this size. Amen. And when he said mustard seed, the mustard seed was the smallest seed that the Israelites were used to seeing. Okay? Most people don't plant mustard seed. We buy mustard. And I love mustard. To a fault. My wife's been trying to wean me off. I mean, I literally, if you came to my home and I opened the refrigerator, there's four or five mustards, okay? On one shelf, they're mine. Now, sometimes I squish them on the plate with my hot dog. Sometimes I just squish them in my mouth. I love mustard. I like every kind of mustard. Hot, spicy, Dijon, yellow, horseradish mustard, which my wife, she hates that. I used to eat so much mustard when we were first married. She would complain at night. Because I'd take a shower before I go to bed. We'd be laying in bed. She goes, Joel, you stink. I said, I took a shower. She said, I know it's that mustard. It's oozing through your pores. So she kept, but I cut back a little. But my daughters used to buy me a big box of like 12 different mustards. Oh, that was the greatest gift. I'd sit there while they're eating. I open each one and just start spooning it. I love mustard. One of my favorites is coarse brown mustard. It's got the seeds. So you have seen mustard seeds. They're pretty tiny, aren't they? I only point that out to remind you and me this morning. I'm almost done. It doesn't take very much faith. It just takes it in the right person.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus said, I'm not asking. Listen, he said, if all you can muster is a mustard seed of faith, but it's in me, you're going to do some amazing things. You're going to see mountains moved. Now, if you believe that this morning, you should say amen. Amen. But there's going to come a test. Let me tell you, there's going to come a situation. If it hasn't happened, it's going to happen. Well, like this father, like these disciples, they were faced with an unusually stubborn demon. I'm not saying a literal demon. I'm just saying something in life that seems impossible. It's like a mountain that has to be moved. Jesus said, believe in me. Have faith in me.
Amen.
You trust me. Lord, but my faith is weak. Remember what the Father said in Mark 9? He began to weep and he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Jesus said, it only takes just a tiny, because it's in the right place. The TV evangelists today, they're still on. They still tell you, you need to have faith. They'll use that word faith 100 times or more in a 30-minute broadcast. But they're always saying, if you have seed faith, if you'll send 35 seed faith. Well, you talk about misusing the word faith. They talk about having faith in the fact that you sent them money. You have faith in their prayer ministry. You have faith in your attempt to have faith. None of that is what Jesus is calling biblical faith. Again, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, literally, no faith, unbelief, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we see under this fifth point, the ministry's power, Jesus gives an answer. You didn't have faith. Number two, he gives them a law or an axiom. He says, I only require a mustard seed of faith, but in me. But number three, he then makes an announcement in verse 21. Howbeit this kind of demon, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting indicate real faith. Why would you pray, brethren, if you don't believe? Now, you may have weak faith, and your prayer may be weak. Nonetheless, prayer and fasting. Do you not realize prayer and fasting cause us to be helpless? And that we turn to God, the omnipotent God, and say, God, food doesn't matter right now. I must hear from you. I must let you hear me. Jesus said, this particular demon wasn't going to go anywhere without faith, without prayer and fasting. You see, this kind of demon needed mountain-moving faith in God. And Jesus said, men, I was feet away, and if you had begun praying, calling to me, if you had been in an attitude of fasting, he said, I would have let you do it. But I had to teach you a lesson today. You see, it is possible to work the ministry without biblical faith and power. Just another day in the ministry. But God has his way of reminding us of our unbelief, because he's causing us to bring ourselves and our ministries to him, like this poor father did. And that when that happens, my friends, may our cry be like that father. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Many times I think we believers think, God won't be pleased unless I bring him a mountain of faith. No, God knows our weakness. And he in his long suffering and mercy on this day announced to us, yes, I want faith. But if you're trying to measure it, I'll take a mustard seed. Amen. That's how good he is. Yeah. Is faith important? It's all important. But it's all important in who you put it in. Just another day in the ministry. Just another day at work. Just another day to be a grandparent. Just another day to live the Christian life. May there never be a day in any of us that we don't wake up and begin it with faith.
Amen.
And folks, some of you are facing some very difficult challenges. I mean, you know, to you, it's a mountain. It's in the way. You don't see how it's going to go away. God does. And he never told us to move the mountain. He said, have faith in me, and then we'll move the mountain. By the way, when God moves mountains, and he's moved some in my life, he's moved some for my wife and I. Do we give him the glory? Oh, give him the glory. But be able to give the glory by faith. Because other people need to hear. The mustard seed worked. It worked. Because God is very faithful. Notice I said God is faithful. Full of faith. See, he already knows who he is. He knows what he's capable of. And all he asks of us today is a mustard seed.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? You'd say, Brother Spencer, I just want to tell you, God spoke to my heart. Yes, there's a mountain in the way. In fact, it's been there a long time. But I was reminded by my Father in his precious word that it's nothing for Jesus. But I have misdirected my faith. I've been trying so hard in my own way all this time to move it without faith. God reminded me I need to have faith. And he certainly is merciful in not wanting much. But he spoke to me this morning. And by his grace, I want to trust him. God spoke to me that message. I just want you to pray for me, Brother Spencer. You don't know what my mountain is. That's all right. But would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. And you. And you. God bless you. Anyone else? You're saved. You know God is your Father, the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You heard him speak loudly to you, my daughter, my son, you've begun to do things without faith. Come back. Have faith in me. Anyone else? Slip your hand up. If you're here without Jesus Christ, your faith, if it's not put in Christ, nothing else will ever matter. All your religion, all your works, all your giving, your baptism, none of that will matter because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're here without Jesus Christ. I promise you I will not embarrass you, but you'd say, preacher, here's my hand. I'm lifting it. I need to be saved. I need to begin right now a life of faith by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Father, bless this time of the service. Thank you for, Lord, giving us this passage. Thank you on that day, Lord, you took time in your infinite being to share a lesson that all of us need to listen to. Thank you for these hands that went up. Bless them, Father. Help them. Increase their faith. Strengthen their faith. And begin it now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.